Okay, we're in the book of Luke today, and we finish the book of Luke. We come to Luke chapter 24, Luke 24, verse 1. And as you are turning there, I will pray. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 24, verse 1, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. And it says in verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. So it's a good thing the stone was moved away because it weighed several tons. And I don't know how they planned on moving that thing, but somehow they were determined to get it done. And now it turns out that God had it moved for them. You know, the best way to do what God wants you to do is just get busy and do what you can and leave the details to him. 3. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Everything was falling into place. I mean, they had the spices, the oils, the big rock was even moved, but there was no body to anoint, so a big missing piece of the puzzle. Verse 4 says, while they were greatly perplexed concerning this, suddenly two men stood by them in shining garments. And these two men were angels, and they will explain the empty tomb. Verse 5. As they were afraid and bowed their faces to the ground, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? In other words, why are you here looking for Jesus? That's a good question, because Jesus had promised several times that he'd come back from the dead on day 3. Verse 6. He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. In other words, ladies, things look kind of crazy, but everything is under control. You know, I think you could define a roller coaster as controlled madness. Well, the last several days of our Lord's life and the last several days for his disciples were sort of like controlled madness. The betrayal, the arrest, the murder of Jesus, and now his missing body had their heads spinning. But it was all according to plan. God was driving. 8. Then they remembered his words, and the question is, how could they ever forget his words in the first place? How can you possibly forget Jesus saying, I'm going to be betrayed, crucified, and then on day 3 rise from the dead? But they did. And they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And the rest would include 70 disciples. 10. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But their words seemed like fables to them, and they did not believe them. In other words, it didn't make sense, so they didn't believe. If something has to make sense in order to be true, we would be in trouble, because it doesn't make sense for the God who created us and who hates sin to come to earth, be tortured, and murdered to pay for our sins. That doesn't make sense either. Nevertheless, it's true. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. He departed, wondering in himself what had happened. Peter didn't believe the ladies, but he acted on it anyway when he checked out the tomb. And because he acted on the word of God, God's going to show him that it is true. 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they would not be two of the 11 remaining apostles, but rather two from among the wider group of 70 disciples. They're heading home. 14, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And there was a lot to talk about, wasn't there? The events of the last few days. That's the only thing that was on their mind. 15. And while they communed and reasoned together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So evidently, Jesus appeared behind them and then caught up to them and began to walk right alongside of them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. You know, if Christ allows them to recognize him, they won't hear what he's about to teach from the scripture. And the Bible is more important than experience. 17. He said to them, "What kind of communication are you sharing with one another while you are walking and are sad?" They had been talking about all that happened, but their talking did not cheer them up. In fact, it probably made them even more sad, and they're going to remain sad until Jesus gives them the Word of God. Now, you can talk about your troubles from now until the day you die, and it won't help you in any way. But when you talk about the Word of God, it'll encourage your spirit if you belong to Christ. 18. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only foreigner in Jerusalem who does not know what has happened there in these days?" Well, if anyone in the Jerusalem area was talking about anything, it was the events surrounded the trial and the murder of Christ. That was the top news story. Verse 19, it says, "He said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified him.'" You know, if there had been any respect for the religious rulers among these godly men, it was out the window after what they did to Jesus. Their dirty little secret is out. 21. "But we were hoping that it was he who would redeem Israel. Moreover, today is the third day since these things happened." The disciples were hoping that Jesus was the Messiah, the one who would deliver them from Rome. It just didn't work out that way, and sometimes what we want God to do just doesn't work out that way. 22. "Even some women from among us who arrived early in the tomb surprised us." Yeah, they were surprised when the women came back from the tomb and said that Jesus had been raised, according to a couple of angels. 23. "When they did not find his body, they returned, saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive," which shouldn't have surprised them because Jesus said he was coming back on day 3. Believe the Word of God, you have confidence in the future, and you know the score, so you're not shocked and surprised when it comes to pass. 24. "Then some who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." I suppose they figured if Christ had really been raised, then he would reveal himself to the apostles when they went to the tomb, and since he didn't, they were really sad. You know, God is not obliged to confirm that something is true by doing something that we want him to do for proof. The thing may be true, but God may ignore what we feel must be there as proof. 25. "He said to them, 'O fools, and slow of heart to believe what the prophets have spoken.'" Good people can be wrong, so Christ didn't rebuke the disciples for not believing the women, but he does rebuke them for not believing the scriptures. 26. "Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and to enter his glory?" And it was necessary because that's what the Bible said would happen, and that's what Jesus, who always spoke the word of God, said would happen as well. So it was necessary. They should have understood that. 27. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." And the truth is going to sink in this time. Now, Jesus is giving them a biblical lesson about himself from the entire Old Testament, and now they're going to have a biblical foundation for their beliefs in Christ. 28, and he drew near to the village where they were traveling, and he seemed to be going further. He didn't invite himself to go along. Jesus just doesn't work that way. He doesn't push himself on anyone. 29. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is far spent." So he went in to stay with them. And as usual, Jesus will accept any invitation from anyone if they invite him to come into their life. 30. As he sat at supper with them, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And Jesus really takes charge of this situation, and this isn't his house, but he took the bread, he blessed the bread, he distributed the bread, he did everything as if he owned the place, because he did own the place, because he's God and he owns everything. 31. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. So his mission to these two men was accomplished. They needed to know from the Bible the truths about Jesus Christ, and he instructed them, and then after he did that, he vanished. That kind of put an exclamation mark on his biblical lesson. 32. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us or to us on the way, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" It was really clicking when Jesus taught them the Word of God, and you know, because they're open to truth, and they love the truth, and they love the Word of God, and so it was really encouraging them and blessing them and feeding them. And if you love Jesus, the Word of God is going to feed you and bless you. 33, they rose up and returned to Jerusalem at once, and they found the 11 and those who were with them assembled together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." So by the time these two disciples got back to Jerusalem, the resurrection was old news. Jesus had beat them back and also appeared to Peter. 35. Then they reported what had happened on the way and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. So they shared stories concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, you know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And that's what they were doing, sharpening each other's faith by talking about Jesus and talking about the Word of God. And 36, and as they were saying this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be unto you." Without hearing a door open or shut, without hearing the footsteps of Christ, suddenly he was there. A resurrected body like this would never work in the world of sin, because people would use it to do all sorts of evil. But it's going to be perfectly fine when we all have a body like Jesus on the new earth, because we won't have our sin nature. And so we won't intrude where we don't belong. But look at this, 37, they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they saw a spirit. They thought it was the ghost of Jesus. They figured it was Jesus, but they thought it was his ghost. 38, he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Feel me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." A spirit doesn't have anything that can be touched. You know, we are spirits, but for all eternity, we will be like Jesus. We will be in our physical bodies. 40, and when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. The nail scars are proof that this was Jesus Christ in his physical body that had gone in the grave but had come back out. You are going to be in the body that you're in right now forever. That's the one that's coming out of the grave, only it's going to be much improved. 41. And while they yet disbelieved for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Do you have any food here?" Well, this ought to convince them. 42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it before them. So Jesus had a fish fry, and he had a honeycomb for dessert. Now that's a physical body that can enjoy food and digest food, and we'll do that for all eternity in our physical bodies. We won't have to eat in order to sustain life, but just to enhance the enjoyment of life. 44. He said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Is this what I was talking about before I died? And it didn't sink in at that time, but it's going to start sinking in. 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and now they get it. Now they also have a scriptural view of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now they can go out and proclaim from the Word of God the person of Christ and his message. 46. He said to them, "Thus it is written, and accordingly it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." And Jesus had to be raised from the dead to show that he was sinless and to show that his sacrifice paid for our sins. 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Don't ever buy the lie that Christianity is only one way to God and that every religion in the world is fine. What do you think Jesus said that repentance in his name needed to be preached in the whole world, because that's the message that saves? 48, you are witnesses of these things. And they were, because they were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. 49, and look, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. They're going to be witnesses throughout the whole world, but they got to wait until he sends the Holy Spirit into them on the day of Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit will empower them to do the job. 50. And that's why we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so we can be empowered to live for Jesus and say what he wants us to say. 50. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. So they're listening to Jesus talk, and all of a sudden he just begins to lift off. And he disappears into a cloud. And he eventually arrives at heaven. 52, and they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Of course they were filled with joy, because they knew the truth. And they knew they had salvation, and they knew that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life, because he had proven it by his resurrection. He was alive and well. They were filled with joy. 53. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God, amen, having a great time, because they have the answer to man's sin problem and the way, the message that can give people eternal life. That's the message of Jesus Christ that God wants us to proclaim today and for all of our lives.